This is the Book Club at 91.7. I'm Mark Purcell. Glad to have you along this morning. As I was reminded by my friend Dean Regas of the Cincinnati Observatory Center, 2015 marks the 150th anniversary of Jules Verne's story From the Earth to the Moon. I thought this would be a great opportunity to bring in a true expert on this French author. Brian Taves has written the book Hollywood Presents Jules Verne, the Father of Science Fiction on Screen, and he's joining me on the telephone. Brian, welcome to the Book Club at 91.7.
Glad to be with you.
I enjoyed reading how you crossed paths with Jules Verne, what, back in 1969, right?
Well, that was the era of Apollo, of course, and news coverage would constantly compare the lunar voyage Verne had described in his two novels, From the Earth to the Moon and Around the Moon, back in 1865 and 1869, with the flight first of Apollo 8 and then the subsequent voyages to the moon. And that was a time of looking anew at Verne, not only as a sort of prophet of the future, but as a literary author deserving greater respect. And a whole generation was being reintroduced to Verne. Those of us in school at the time, I was 10 years old, we would be sent the Verne books through Scholastic Book Services.
Mm-hmm.
But we were also seeing Verne on the screen, on the movies, and shown again in television. We had Verne comic books. So he was really a huge presence in our young lives.
I was surprised at what a prolific writer he was. Of course, people know about the what you've mentioned here, but 20,000 Leagues Under the Sea and Around the World in 80 Days and Journey to the Center of the Earth. But I was knocked out, Brian, by how many other stories he wrote, too.
Yes, he was a prolific author, born in 1828, died in 1905, and he still left posthumously published works. So he was still being published in 1914, and he was turning out a book or two every year. This was both part of his contract with his publisher, but also became part of the expectation of readers in the 1870s, 1880s, 1890s. That was the next New Year's Jules Verne, was something everyone expected.
And desired, too, I'm sure.
Mm-hmm. And school kids would get the new Verne book would be the reward for doing well in school.
Well, how did his work come to define the then-new genre science fiction?
Well, he wasn't quite the first person to write science fiction. There had been sporadic, scattered stories, most prominently Frankenstein by Mary Shelley, but the difference was with Verne, here was a series of stories, and while some he turned out simply stories of adventure in distant lands at the time, about half of his stories were of science in some context, looking at some new invention, how it would affect potentially the world of, or some inventor, whether an independent person like a Captain Nemo that was seeking his own private ends, or the individuals who come together to launch that journey from the Earth to the Moon, the Baltimore Gun Club,
yes.
Private cannoneers who arrange their own device to shoot what seems to be initially a bullet to the moon, and then they decide, try putting some people in it, see what happens.
I'm speaking with Brian Taves, the author of Hollywood Presents Jules Verne, the Father of Science Fiction on Screen. You can learn more about it at WVXU.org. And Brian, the book is focused on the Hollywood take on Verne, but I learned through reading here that before the screen, small or large, many works of Jules Verne's works were stage blockbusters.
Right. Even in his own time, Verne realized that he could make his biggest income by stage adaptations. For instance, his stage version of Around the World in 80 Days was not the book that really made him wealthy, despite how well-known and how widely sold the book has become, but it was the stage version. It was one of the biggest hits of the 19th century. And Verne knew, like any other adapter, that you have to change some of the original novel for the stage. So he added some characters, and a stage play would include thousands, literally thousands of dancers upon the stage. It would go on for hours. It included a live elephant. So we're talking real extravaganzas. So when it came time for motion pictures with the beginning of the 20th century, people naturally were looking to Verne on the screen. And of course, we've all seen the wonderful Georges Méliès short film from 1902, A Trip to the Moon, where the moon rocket lands right in the moon's eye.
Yes.
But very quickly, others were telling Verne's stories, even in those earliest days. And one of the first major Verne films was the first to present underwater photography in 1916, a version of 20,000 Leagues Under the Sea. And it was quite amazing at that time and was remembered by audiences. And you can still see it today on YouTube.
Yes. Well, you mention in the book that there have been more than 300 film and television versions of his story, and that's second only to some lightweights like William Shakespeare or the stories of Edgar Allan Poe. What do you think it is about Verne that captures the imagination for the screen?
It's that mix of science looking at the future, but it's also set in the past. That's the distinguishing aspect of Verne as a writer, is that whenever we read him, when we read about Captain Nemo, 20,000 Leagues Under the Sea, or when we read From the Earth to the Moon, we're seeing somehow a leap into the past to present the science of the future. So we're looking back into a time that's may easily be 100 or more years ago, but we're seeing how it interacted then, and that tells us something more about the potential for today and the future. So that gave them a certain timelessness, that stories set by later authors in their own time would have a little more trouble achieving. After all, we've been reading Verne for all of these years, and he still is the best, the most translated author, really, of all time.
Hollywood Presents Jules Verne, the father of science fiction on screen. I'm speaking with author Brian Taves about that on the 150th anniversary of the story From the Earth to the Moon, written by Jules Verne in 1865. And Brian, you talk about all the films, you trace all the film and television series through the peaks and valleys of the popularity of Jules Verne. And it seems 1950s, when the 20,000 Leagues Under the Sea Disney version of 1954, as you put it in the book, fanned flame into a bonfire. What was it about that movie, do you think, that really increased his popularity?
It was the first time Verne had been presented on screen in Technicolor and in widescreen. And Disney wisely realized, unlike, say, some other filmmakers who were doing H.G. Wells at the time, to keep Verne in that wonderful period setting of his stories. And so Disney did that, and then he simultaneously explained about the movie on television shows and presented it in the new Disneyland theme park. So here was presenting Verne in multiple media at the same time. And then following right on his heels was Michael Todd's Around the World in 80 Days. Again, widescreen, color, this time not just 2 hours long, but 3 hours long, presenting the entire novel in a way that amazingly had never been done since the silent movie days. So that those two films in quick succession were what really, really started this, as you say, a literal explosion of Verne on the screen and in the on the big screen, in the movie theater, on television, and that has continued literally until this day.
Well, the one thing you do note in the book about Around the World in 80 Days, that 1956 film, that it was fairly close to Verne's book, and because of translation and so many other things, that's something that really hasn't happened in all these screen versions of Jules Verne's stories, that the, shall we say, artistic liberties have been taken.
Yes, that's to certain degrees, sometimes with success, sometimes with a notable lack of success.
Yes.
One of the curious things I discovered as I was writing this was two factors: the how much films would look back at previous films for inspiration or ideas, or sometimes things they wanted to avoid, and then simultaneously the filmmakers would be looking at what Verne's stories were in print, what publishers were doing, so that there was this simultaneous track of what's in print, what's on screen. And when publishers were putting out a lot of different Verne titles, a lot of different Verne titles show up on the screen. When publishers cut back and just do Around the World in 80 Days, Journey to the Center of the Earth, 20,000 Leagues Under the Sea, that's all the filmmakers do. So there's the real relationship between the publishers and the filmmakers.
I love as well that you have supplemented the book with a lot of old movie posters. I imagine that was some fun research to do.
Yes, it justified a lifetime of collecting, so I was able to go through items I had been picking up for literally decades. But it was amazing to find how many times you would find advertising that would say something specifically about Verne, that was an attraction for the audience. For instance, In Search of the Castaways, 1962, only Walt Disney could present this Jules Verne adventure. At that kind of thing, you would find.
Well, it is, as I said, I did not realize the influence that Jules Verne has had. I mean, I've always loved reading, I've always loved watching all the screen versions, but you bring a whole new light to it, Brian. Thank you for sharing.
Well, thank you.
Brian Taves, the book is Hollywood Presents, Jules Verne, the Father of Science Fiction on Screen. You can learn more at our website, wvxu.org, about Brian and the book. This is the Book Club at 91.7.